Well, we're back this morning in our teaching on training the human spirit. We spent our great emphasis last week in the starting of this because this is not going to be a real long series, but the things that, because there's some things that are really easy to know what to do to train the human spirit that you must do. But one of the things that we made emphasis on was about, one of the things that the Lord dealt with me was being a good soldier. And we looked at scriptures and what the scriptures said in these areas and that stuff, dealing with being a soldier. Paul wrote about it. Really in the areas of training, and that's where it comes into the things of being diligent. It's really important concerning a soldier. Many times dealing in that area of dealing with soldiers is because of the discipline area. And that's one of the things that it really requires a lot of discipline. And we talked about, going over and over things continually. I said about, the military, when the Lord dealt with me in these, he used about the military training and taught me these areas about here and used the military tactics, types, things that they did and things that they did to train us so we would walk in the, and fulfill what they wanted us to do. But one thing's about soldiering and we're going to find is in practicing in the areas, if we're going to train our human spirit, is dealing with the areas of continually practicing the things that we're taught to do. So when we do, just like in the military, when you face conflict, or you need to do something, it becomes an automatic thing to do stuff rather than going back over. Smith Wigglesworth talked about just in the areas of faith. He said if you wait till, like, say, you get sick to get in faith, he said you've waited too long. And said, so what, and this is many times this is what people do. Sometimes we don't know about certain things. So, and an area comes up and we really never had the information, well, you're at a spot there where you're going to have to take the time to learn some stuff. There's many times that people have been taught things but really didn't do anything about developing in it. And then when the problem comes, then they go to it. That's a very difficult situation. It's so much better if you're trained ahead of time on things. Is being a soldier, one thing as the Lord dealt with me was about is controlled hardship. Soldiers are put through controlled hardship. That's what they're put in training. That's what you do. The tough things, hard things, you go through it in a controlled manner. And I was thinking about, as I was meditating on some of this stuff. I remember they took us out, and they had this. They would do all these things of taking you out, like we would do like a 20-mile forced march, when I was in basic training, when I went into basic training, I was 135 pounds. Well, those days are long gone. But 135 pounds, and they called me, the guys called me Bone Rack. I was skinny, man. I was a skinny dude. I was in pretty good shape. I mean, in basic training, they really got us in good shape. But they would pack us up, with all of our equipment and everything and all this stuff. Like, you'd have your two guys together teamed up. You'd have a shelter half. But you have all this equipment, all this ammo, your food. There's food. You got sea rations and stuff on you. You got all this stuff. And you have your ammo belts on you. And you're loaded up with all this equipment and your weapons and stuff. And you're marching and they're sending you out there and you probably got about 100 pounds worth of equipment on you that you're toting and they force march you. And back in our days, you didn't wear sneakers out there doing that. You had all your combat gear and you wore all your combat gear. And you're out there I was in Georgia in July and I was down Georgia in July and August. And it was nice, beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful temperatures. Now, that was balmy. In fact, you would come in after, we wore the OD at that time. They didn't have the jungle fatigues. That all came in later on into Vietnam. You used to get jungle fatigues when you went over to Vietnam, but now all of them wear them all the time. But you'd sweat, and really, you'd go through so much. You'd sweat out so much salt and they'd have to take salt tablets all the time. But you would, your fatigues would get soaking wet, and when they dry, they'd be just white. White all over that stuff. Sometimes you'd have to go in the afternoon. If we'd be in somewhere, they'd take us back. You'd go change your uniform. It'd be just, but you're out there, and you do that force march. And I remember the first time we did one, and they took us out, and they, I mean, it's during the day, and we're out in a area. We're on these back road areas and that stuff. Every once in a while, some of the tanks and stuff would come out through where we were or something like that, pass us going. And we're force marching along. And then they took you, and at nighttime came, and it was dark out. They waited till dark till they would camp you. And they would take you in, and they would set up camp. Now, you just force marched 20 miles. And they would take you, and it'd be dark. And now you have to set up. Everybody has to set up an entire camp and a perimeter. You got to set up in the dark. You're out in the dark. You set it up. This is fun. You know, you're there putting your shelter halves together, getting in, doing all this stuff. They're setting up guards, doing all this kind of stuff. And when everybody gets set up and everything gets set up and everybody crawls in the sack, get up. Tearing down camp in the dark and move into another location and set up. And they would do these things. And it was just exciting. I mean, you really love doing it. And then they took us, and really, this is part, but this is all, and understand, because why? You get into combat areas, and they were training us because of combat, Vietnam War and stuff was going on. They're training you for these things. And because you get there, I mean, the enemy don't say, oh, don't fire any rockets or mortars at them tonight because they haven't slept for a while. They don't do that. You know? So anyhow, and then they turn around, and I'll never forget, they took us and marched us out through and in the dark and took us out to this area. And here what they did is we had to crawl through an area, and what they do is they have this area set up, and it's just barbed wire and mud. That's what it is. It's barbed wire and mud. And you got to crawl with your weapon. You're supposed to keep your weapon out of the mud, which is an absolute impossibility. You can't. They know you can't do it. But they'll scream at you for getting your weapon. And they're yelling, but you're crawling under barbed wire. And then literally, I mean, you got to stay, you can easily get caught, tangled up in this barbed wire. So you're crawling under barbed wire. And they have machine guns, live rounds, firing over top of you. So you don't want to get up at any time. And then they have these pits. And in the pits are explosives. And those pits are full of water, mud, rock, and they explode. And they're going off all the time. And it's shooting this stuff up in the air, and it's coming down on you. Water and mud and rock and stuff is falling. And you got your helmet and all your gears, and you're trying to crawl through this stuff, and you're going down. When you come out the other end, this is fun. I mean, this is all just the good times. I'll never forget, they load us up in trucks. They load us up in these trucks. Everybody's mud from head to toe. I mean, we just walked in the showers with our clothes and everything on, and everything on. I took our weapons and everything. Because everything just watch now that you take a quick dry your weapon off when you get out. Quick dry it off so it doesn't oil it. But it was everything was mud. It was just horrendous. And you're just but they're out there doing those things. But they're doing them to train. But it's controlled hardship. They run you through things because. That doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to go through that or anything, but if you look back, and I mean, from a warfare standpoint, it's just like in Vietnam, things that people went through there, guys in the Second World War, stuff that they went through. I mean, just from a cold standpoint, can you imagine the guys in that were in Bastogne during that winter with no winter clothing? They didn't have winter clothing. And those guys went through that thing and were surrounded by Germans all that time. And I mean, you talk about hardship. They didn't go through one night crawling through a pit. They went day after day after day, man. They were down. Some of those places, they were down to like one or two rounds of ammo left. That's all they had. Not good. Now, these guys, but it's training, but they were trained to go through hardship, and that's what you do. And really, God did that. He said to Kenneth Hagin, and I remember the first time I heard Kenneth Hagin say it, the Lord told him to go teach people faith. He said, you teach my people faith. He said, I allowed you to go through certain things so you could teach my people faith. And if you ever thought about warfare, it is in the same way. And that's why God used it from that standpoint. There's people that went through warfare and stuff that learn and develop tactics because of going through warfare. you know, you can sit down and people can analyze that have never been in a battle and can analyze what they want. That's what a lot of these tacticians that ain't ever fired a shot in their life or was ever shot at. And they've come up with tactics, but their tactics have never been proven in battle. And then they go tell you to go do it and you go out there and it don't work. It's because it doesn't. But you have people that are trained in tactics who have been out there and know things. And really, going through things and lowing, you have somebody with experience that knows how to do it. There's nothing better than having somebody that knows how to, it was with experience on how to doing it, than just having anybody and his brother out here telling you about it. And so Kenneth Hagin, he said, I allowed you to go through those things. And then here, maybe about, oh, it must be about 10 years ago, the Lord spoke to me about teaching the areas of faith, and he said to me, he spoke to me about what he said to Kenneth Hagin. He said, I allowed you to go through the same things. He said, you went through things. He said, I allowed you to go through so I could, so you can teach people faith. And so you're not just teaching them by word, but you're teaching them by example. This is one of the great things that we lack today. The body of Christ has so many teachers and so many people out here with no experience in what they've done. They've done everything in the world to stay away from any kind of experience of any kind of thing as a hardship. They won't put up with it. You know, there's ministers out here that talk about faith and money, and they ain't never hardly stood in faith at all for money. They're beggars, and they get out here and, you know, get con people into things and done all kinds of stuff, get people to give money, telling people, well, if you just give money, God will give it back. Well, it don't just work like that. That's part of it, but it don't work like that. There's other things involved in it. And just giving them money is going to change the world for you. Well, that sure hasn't happened for a lot of people. They gave them money and it didn't change the world for them. It's because they didn't teach them the whole thing, but it worked for them to get the money they wanted. And so going through things and learning things. One thing we always did, and I talked about, is a soldier. One thing is continually practicing, or you do continual training into things all the time. You trained. I mean, that's all you did in the military when you weren't involved in combat. That's all you did was train all the time. You know, you ever think about here at the Gap, the artillery, and they have those striker unit out there and that kind of stuff with a mobile unit and things like that. Well, they go out there every summer. They go out there and fire their weapons. Those guys go back there and shoot and stuff, you know, take their equipment back. You know, during the winter, they're inside and stuff going over things of tactics and all that kind of stuff. In the summertime, they go out there and shoot those things. Well, most of those guys ain't never been in a war in their life. Well, they just keep training and training as if, you know, there's going to be one. Well, that's what you do. You just, that's their job, is to do that. That's one thing, is it's very expensive to run a military, because you can't run a military and not be in, you know, training all the time and doing stuff. I mean, if you ever get down, I don't know if you ever, down in Delaware, if you get down to Dover, Delaware, they have Air Force Base down there. And they have they fly those big Galaxies out down there. It's the largest aircraft that America has. It's a big, huge cargo jet. They got those things down there. And you know what? Every time you ever, I've never driven down through there that they don't have planes doing training. You'll see them in the sky. You'll see those big things. They'll be flying around. Now, when war's going on, lots of times you'll see less of it there because they don't need to be doing that kind of training. They're always flying all the time, going back and forth. But you know, when nothing serious is going on, you go down there all the time and they're out there, those big airplanes. People think, oh, that's a waste of money flying those. No, you continually train and train and train and train with those things, you know? You know, and when civilian time's there, you can't let them sit in the field and those guys ain't out there practicing flying those things. I mean, that ain't like crawling inside your car and driving it down the road. I've been driven for almost a year now and getting a car. I mean, my words, if you go inside and look at all the instrumentation and those things, dear God, all the things that you have to know to fly them. Well, and they're in there. Those guys are doing that stuff. And they're all the time doing those things. So they're always training. And we're going to find that these principles are going to fall into hand here because of what the Lord spoke. We're going to find out then in the Bible, and something, the things that God told Joshua. But a scripture I want you to look at is one of the things, is because I'm talking about a natural things about dealing with the military, but we need to understand I'm dealing with a spiritual principle. But we're using a natural application trying to explain this. And if you go to the book of Proverbs to the 16th chapter, I want to show you scripture here that is really a powerful, powerful scripture. You probably have not even heard this scripture ever used. You may have never even heard it used in the subject of faith. But this is a powerful scripture of how things work in the area of the Spirit. And this principle you need to understand. Proverbs in 16, verse 23 says this: the heart of the wise teaches his mouth. And it said it adds learning to his lips. The heart of the wise, it says, teaches his mouth. A wise person is listening to what's his spirit saying and says it. And see, this is one thing, and see, it's right in line, it's exactly in line with Scripture. I mean, if we took Mark 11, 23, what did Jesus say? For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be outcast and see, does not doubt in his heart. What? Does not doubt in his heart the words he said. Those words from his heart. He's talking about faith. But believe that those things he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. And that would be a person who has trained their mouth by their heart. That's what you want to do. You want to train your mouth from your heart, not just train your mouth. See, you can train your mouth, and some people do that. Some people know, like say scriptures, they know, they speak stuff, they have it. Mentally they have it. But what happens is when they get into problems, they don't have it. Because it isn't, you know, it's one thing is in your heart, if you can get your heart to dominate you. It's like I've watched people who, whether it's Christians, what, they get in a tough situation, and they get into a tough situation, and if they haven't been training and they learn how to develop their spirit, and their spirit, what they turn around and speak, they might make confessions. I've heard people, and they go and they have all these confessions they make every day. I know a guy, and I knew him for years, and he'd have all these confessions that he'd say, but nothing ever changed in his life. And I always knew why. That wasn't really what's in his heart, because when things got tough, he would say other stuff. See, it was just like and why I'm using the training as a military the Lord used of me, because, see, if they would train us all that stuff and you didn't get that into you, if that didn't get inside of you as a way to do things, it had to get more than just in your head. Because here's one thing we have to learn to do. We have to learn to control our emotions. Sometimes in situations, that's hard to do. You know, when you're being shot at, it can be hard to be cool. You know? And I've watched people under dire situations, and I watch them make bad decisions and I've watched people that when they can't identify when a situation that whether you have time to think about a decision or not. I've watched people that they made decisions quickly. They shouldn't have. They didn't have to make a quick decision. They made it. And if you don't think clear and you're run emotionally, you'll do stuff and not think about it. And you'll turn around and what happens? I got to quick make this decision. I got to quick do this. I've learned this a long time ago. It's just like with anything. Somebody, somebody comes up with a great deal. If you take advantage of this sale right now, I'll tell you, you got to take advantage of today. If you can't take advantage of today, well, you can't have this thing. And I always just look at them and say, well, then we won't have it. Thank you. I'll never make a decision like that. We got this great deal. And if you invest into this, I'll tell you, you can make $1 million, but it's only can do it today. Well, no, I'm sorry. We ain't going to be doing that. They'll say, well, you're going to miss it. Well, that's fine. I'm going to miss it. But we're not going to make a decision immediately on that just because somebody says or there's pressure to do it. And we have to always watch that. And the things that I'm going to teach you because it's dealing with this is if you develop the inner man and let the inner man become the thing that teaches your voice what to say, it's hugely helpful. Over the years of different things I've had happen, I have never had at any time and anything come up an emergency that the Lord has not spoken to me during that time. I've never had that happen. An emergency has arisen and the Lord hasn't spoken to me. He always has. He's always spoken to me about something to do or something not to do. and why is listening on the inside. So what happens if you learn to listen to that, then you're going to start learning to say the right things. You're going to have to learn to and doing that. But it's getting that stuff on the inside. And it says the heart of the wise, and a wise person, what? Their heart teaches their mouth. In other words, what's to be said is going to come out of your spirit, because this is what we need to understand, how important this is, because it is through faith that we bring things to pass, and faith's of the heart. Our stuff that we say ain't going to come to pass till your heart and your mouth are in line with each other. That's how it has to be. They have to be in line with each other. So we need to know this is why training the human spirit is so important, because so many people, and we teach the confession side, and we want to, we need that. But the confession side isn't any good if what I'm saying is not in my heart. It ain't coming to pass. It's just talk. It's words. Now, I can use words to get things into my heart and start to develop. It's good to get words. We take words off a page to get things in these words. And one of the most powerful things that you can do with the words in this book is to read them so you can hear. Faith comes by hearing the word. Faith doesn't come by reading the word. It don't say that. Faith comes by hearing. And there's a hearing that goes on the inside. And there's one of the things is we can use our voice. Actually, it's a powerful thing. Voice is powerful. Think about it. Jesus used voice, and the power of his voice from his heart killed a tree. He said you could pull a tree out by the roots and throw it in the ocean. He said you could do that. He said you could tell a mountain to be moved and it'd be moved. It'd be cast in the sea. He said he made those statements of those things. In other words, the power of one's voice tied to one's spirit is a hugely powerful, powerful thing. But voice, you know, we preach the gospel. The gospel is preaching. He said, Paul wrote and said, how do people get saved? He said, faith comes by hearing, hearing the word. How, unless nobody preaches, how are they gonna hear? So what do? We preach the word. So the power, and that's why when we read scriptures, the reading of scriptures is a hugely powerful thing, because when we read scriptures, and as we read them through and read them out loud, and many times I say things out loud, it is just something about it. It gets into you. So that scripture there in itself, that's a hugely powerful thing. So your spirit will teach your mouth, is going to teach your mouth what to say. And we understand that it's the power of that of dealing with that. In James, the third chapter, in the New Testament, the book of James in the third chapter, James wrote to us there and dealing with this and dealing with this saying, because this is why we want to get them in line. We want to get in line with what the scripture says in these areas, is training ourselves. One of the things that we did in the military is one of the things that they were very cautious on is they wanted you to guard what you say. You know, they didn't want people walking around and being rebellious all the time, talking junk, talking crazy and all that kind of stuff. Well, it causes problems. But James said concerning it, in James the third chapter, James said this. He said, for we all stumble in many ways. So we all miss it in many ways. Have you noticed? We do. But now listen to this. If any man does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, also able to bridle the whole body. He can bring the whole body into mind. What's religion always taught us about the perfect person? The perfect person, I didn't lie, see it, I don't cuss, spit, you know, I don't do all these different things, I'm just nice and I'm all this. This is the great Christian. James didn't say that. Now I want you, this James that wrote this, he was the brother of Jesus. He was the apostle and the head of the church in Jerusalem, which was the head church of the church. That's what it was. The head church. In fact, Apostle Paul, when they wanted to settle arguments on doctrine, you read the book of Acts, and on two occasions, Apostle Paul went down to Jerusalem to settle the arguments about, and James was the guy who called the shots on the arguments about doctrine, dealing with the Gentiles and stuff. James was the final say on what was what. And this guy who made the final say, he was the overseer, really, in a sense. He would have been sort of like they, you know, Catholics always put that Paul was the first pope. He was the pope of the church. I'm not Paul, but Peter. Peter was not. If anybody wanted to say as a guy was in charge, was the head guy, it was James. James was the head guy over the church. Because Peter and them did not make the call. Peter and John and those guys were at Jerusalem when Paul went there about some of these things. And they didn't make the call on the doctrine. James did. James made the final say on it. So, and James said this. This is a powerful saying. He said, we stumble in many ways, but he said, if anyone does not stumble in words, he's a perfect man. So if our spirit is supposed to be what guides what our mouth says, in other words, our spirit will control what our mouth says, then therefore, if I want to control my spirit, I want to do that, I'm going to have to, if I want to control my mouth, I'm going to have to do something concerning my spirit and what I say. It says that's how you get to be a perfect man. So if you allow your spirit to teach your mouth, you can keep, actually here too, he said, you can keep your whole flesh under. This is one of the things that I've noticed about people when situations arise. If a problem situation arises and there's stuff that has to be dealt with, they always get out of hand when somebody starts talking out of hand. People start saying the wrong things. People get into a panic. I watch people in a panic. You know, they go in, somebody gets hurt or injured. Oh, call an ambulance. You know, I watch Christians do it. I mean, you can't. Hey, they ain't going to die. I'm here. Knock it off. We ain't going to let them die. Shut up. If you want to call an ambulance, fine. Quit acting like an idiot. Why? Doing what they're doing out of fear, and that's fear. What's fear going to generate there? You're going to put demons into active motion. Things of the spirit go into active motion when we speak wrong things and we're doing it out of our hearts. People can't let fear, never allow fear to dominate. Don't allow fear to take over. So like a soldier in battle, he can't allow his flesh to call the shots. He can't allow that. You can't allow panic to go on. I mean, one of the big things that they would deal in areas of teaching us was ambush. Because they did an ambush, because if you learn to keep control in ambush, you start doing the wrong thing, you don't have time to change what you did, you're going to be dead. That's just it. I mean, you're talking, and literally, you're talking seconds of what to do. You can't. So you want to learn to keep yourself in control. Because in an ambush, if the enemy sets up a good ambush can kill a lot of people in seconds. I mean, it can just... And make it hard. The general thing that they would always tell us about is generally in an ambush, the first thing that most people think about doing is trying to back out. Back away. You're trying to get away from the guys that are shooting at you. You'll never survive like that. If you do, it's sheer luck. It's sheer luck. You go at them. And you have a short period of time. You have seconds to do that move. Is head right toward them, firing. If you don't. And, they showed us, videos of actual, ambushes where people did the wrong thing. What happened? They all died. And what happens when people don't do what's right? And so they would do that. Advice not to panic, making a right decision. You know, this is where when people today, the church world talks about peace, and most people Christians talk about peace. What they're really talking about is there's nothing bad going on around you. Well, I'm going to tell you what, I live in this world long enough to know that don't exist on this planet. I mean, sometimes we go through times that nothing seems to be happening around us, and after a while we find out everything wasn't good. You know, just take like our neighbor lady over here. They found that she has cancer. She has a cancerous tumor. Now, she was going all last year, and everything looked like nothing was going on, but there was something going on in her the whole time. She was having some little problems here and there, but they, you know, nobody noticed nothing, and she isn't. But there's a problem going on. Now, she is at peace because why? She thought nothing was going on, but something was going on. There's always something going on. Peace is not about, you know, if any time that you want to have peace the most, you want to be at peace when trouble's going. If you would take, right, if God would say move in this earth today and just wave a wand and go zap everybody, and then everybody would be at instant peace on the inside of them on the situation they were in and dealing with the situation they were in, that they were doing it from being on peace on the inside instead of turmoil, do you realize the difference that this day would turn out to be? People not making decisions based on their feelings and what they see going on and all that kind of stuff, that people would literally make decisions, stop, they're at peace, they'd stop, think about what they needed to do. My words. Things would be just totally, totally different. And the peace that we need, the peace, and that's what the Bible talks of, peace that passes understanding. That's what's on. A peace that passes understanding is, it's not normal under the circumstance to be at peace like that when trouble's going on. That's peace. Having peace when nothing seems to be going wrong, that don't pass no understanding. Any sinner can do that. Any heathen that don't know nothing about God could do that. The peace that passes all understanding, that guards your heart and mind, that's the peace that you want, is that peace that you have in turmoil. How can I get there? Man, I want that, don't you? That's what we want. And that can be had in our Christian walk. And that's what I want to get across in this thing. So, a soldier's training, just like we talk about this, so the soldier's training is to dominate him. Our spiritual training that God wants to develop us in, that's what He wants, where it dominates us. Man is one of the things, when Wanda accepted Christ some months after I did. Anyhow, I came home one night, and after work, I was working second shift at Reese's. And I was a group leader in the kitchen there, in the Kit Kat kitchen. And came home from work, and Wanda, I came home, and I forget, Wanda told me she had accepted Christ that night. She said was watching something on TV. But she had known I accepted Christ, but the Lord told me don't talk to her, don't preach to her. She don't have confidence in you anyhow, so let her alone. And I did. All I told her is I accepted Christ. That's all she knew, and I just, But I asked Wanda, I said, why did you accept Christ? I said, well, what was it? So you can preach to people, and that's helpful. You think people need to hear the word on how to accept Christ. They need to know that. And so she heard that on television, what to do. And she got saved. But what brought her to the one to accept Christ? That's what I wanted to know. Because I knew it just wasn't preaching on TV. And then there was a situation that had arisen, that similar situations had arisen before. And Ed's peace never passed any understanding. Everybody understood Ed was crazy. And I would just go bananas, anyhow, a situation arose. And Wanda said about this. She said, this situation come up. And she said, you didn't go ballistic at all. She said, you didn't do nothing about it. You just, well, that happened. What are we going to do? And she said, I realized, she said, I'm living with a different man. She said, before that, I thought you were just going through one of your things again. You know, you were going through some of your stuff. And she said, you're not the same guy. Well, see, there was a peace that I had that passed understanding. I never had that one. I never had a peace that passed understanding. Up until that time, anything that happened that made me, uncomfortable, everybody knew. And I made everybody else uncomfortable too. You do as much as you can to make everybody else miserable with you. I did it. But the whole thing is, she noticed that. There was a peace that I had that I had never had before. I never had that. There was something took place. And it was because of what took place on the inside. Now, another thing is because I had, up to this time, I had bought some things and had some books and stuff and bought tapes from Kenneth Hagin. I'd been listening to things, putting things into me. These things just didn't happen because I didn't do nothing about it. I was after things of God, and it was changing. The Word was changing me. Sure, getting born again changed me, but you can get, how many people have you ever seen that got born again, but they never really changed? They stayed a lot the same person. They're born again, they're a Christian. You know, they're a nice person, but they never really change the way they do decisions and what goes on in life. It's just the same way. They've never really changed. And surely, I mean, all the years I was in church as a kid, they never taught us none of this stuff. I mean, you wouldn't. Heck, we did talk about being a spirit being and all that kind of stuff. And you just, you're supposed to live right, you know, and do right. And thank God, I mean, they were good people. They weren't liars, cheats, and stealing from you. You didn't have to worry about them, you know, going over there. You didn't have to worry about them trying to do stuff to you or anything like that. I mean, they're good people, but they didn't understand a lot of these things. And so, you know, when I look back over it, I understand why a lot of things happened the way they did and what went wrong. They didn't understand these things, and they didn't know about them. And these are not complicated. We're going to go to the book of Joshua. One of the things is that, excuse me, we as Christians, we need to understand we are not under the law. And when we say under the law of Moses. Now we're going to go to Joshua. We're going to go to the first chapter of the book of Joshua. But many people, this is what they've done. They've said, we're not under the law, so they don't pay attention to stuff that's in the scriptures back then. And we need to understand this, that we may not be under the law, but all through, from the law the whole way through, there is all kind of things that were written that they're, and things about people did, and we see spiritual principles. And these spiritual principles never changed. Understand this, from under the law the whole way through the Bible, never did any spiritual principles change. The spiritual principles stay the same, even for salvation. Now, under the law, they had a type of Christ that was set up through the temple worship, where they offered blood and people were forgiven of sin and all this kind of people in offering their sacrifices for healing and all kind of stuff. They did all these things. But see, they were types and shadows of principles that stood in the kingdom. And now, thank God, we got the real one when we got Jesus. We got the real stuff. But the principles are powerful. The principles themselves are hugely powerful in how they work. And we're going to look at principles here that God gave Joshua. And these principles change not in the kingdom. And because we get saved, they should benefit us more. And what Joshua and those children of Israel could do following those principles, we should be able to go further. Now, I want to say this to you in an introduction to Joshua. Joshua was a highly motivated man. Also, Joshua was a highly skilled and trained and disciplined man. We don't have time to do this in going back into it, but you will find with Joshua, Joshua was Moses' protege. When Moses went up on the mountain, Joshua went up part way and waited for him. You know, he didn't go hang out with the boys down below. You know, he was. You know what? He wanted something. He liked what Moses had. He didn't really care about what the rest of them had. He wanted something that Moses had. You know, different people talk about, you know, Joshua, he was picked by God. I think Joshua picked himself and God picked him because he wanted something. You know, many times there's people that God didn't necessarily, we say as God chose a man. The Bible talks about being chosen in things before the foundation of the world. I believe a lot of that has to do because God knew what decisions certain individuals were going to make because he's God. I believe many times there were people chosen. Do you realize that the Bible teaches us this about King Saul? God wanted to make the exact promise to Saul that he wanted to make to David, to always have somebody to sit on the throne. But Saul's disobedience, God turned away from him. God wanted to have Saul have a man always on the throne. Why did he pick David? Well, he did it for David. God's perfect will was for Saul to do it. But David ended up with it. Why? Because of David's walking right. David ended up with it. See, and some people turn around, well, God just chose David. No, David was a highly motivated guy. He was highly motivated. He was a very disciplined man. And we want to find this with Joshua, because Joshua was. If you go down and read through the law and read during the times of Moses, it would say time and time again that Moses would be in the tabernacle. And the glory of the Lord would show up. And God would talk to Moses, and Moses would leave the tabernacle, and it would say Joshua would stay in the presence of God. See, Joshua was after something. He was after something. And it's one of the things that is dealing with that, because we find out concerning this man in Joshua, the first chapter. This is God's... In fact, we'll find it opens up with a statement I talked about, we read from the Scriptures, and we talked about from the New Testament on Sunday. And God speaking to Joshua. Joshua is going to go over to lead the children of Israel. Moses has died. Joshua is getting ready to take the children of Israel into the land of Canaan. And let's see. I'll tell you what, I'm going to start. Let's read from the beginning, because here in the first verse, I was going to cut in later, but it might be good. It says, verse 1 says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant's dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Here's a good thing to understand about faith. You understand? Here's the principle of faith. God said to them, every place you set your foot, he didn't say, I'm going to give it to you, did he? He speaks in the past tense. I have. See, people say, oh, well, go step on it. God will give you that place out there you step on. God's already given it to you. We go stand on it and declare God gave it to me. We don't go, God, go over there and stand on it and say, God, give this to me. We don't do that. This is one of the things people don't understand about faith and why it don't work. This is why people run around trying to get healed all the time when God's already given them healing. Go stand on it and say, oh, God gave me healing. No, people are saying, well, I'm believing God for healing. In other words, I didn't get it yet. He didn't give it to me. I'm believing him for it. No, you're not. They weren't going believing for God for the land. The land was already given them before they ever showed up. God had already given it to them. It's a good faith principle there. Just understand that. God gave them the land. So, he said, from the wilderness of Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, and shall be your territory, excuse me. Now listen to what he says. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Now he makes these statements to this guy, and then he says this. Be strong and of good courage. You're going to see that he makes this statement a number of times. We won't go all of them today, but we're starting here looking at this. He told him, now this is what I've done for you, so now what you got to do is respond to that and be strong and courageous. See, this is one thing, many people, you know, there's praying, I've said about something, people pray for strength, they're praying for this. What people need to do is sit down and meditate and read in the Word of God and find out what God said about them and start acting like it's true. You'll be strong and courageous. You will be. He said, be strong and courageous. He didn't say, I'm going to make you strong and courageous. When you believe what's true, you'll be strong and courageous. You know, did you ever watch like you take two athletes or do compete with each other? You'll get two boxers out here compete with each other. One, and when, you know, they think they can beat each other up. Man, how do they act and talk? They talk pretty courageous, don't they? They talk, you know, they don't go out there and talk like, well, I've been praying for God to give me courage out here when I go fight this guy. Don't get in the ring, whatever you do. Stay out of that ring. You're going to get knocked all around that thing because you're going to go out there and he's going to hit you and you don't feel strong. So he didn't say feel strong, did he? Did he say feel strong and courageous? He didn't say that. He said, be it. Declare it to yourself. I bet you there's days that Joshua got up and had to declare he was strong and courageous because the children of Israel weren't always the most fun people to meet. But he said, be strong and courageous. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. So that was, he's making a statement here about this. Now, listen what he says, verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. Now, see, it's one of the things you're going to have. Listen, did you ever get a crowd of people? Now, you know, it's like Kenneth Hagin used to say, my God, he said, you get 10 Christians together if you can get them into agreement. He said, that's a hugely powerful thing. He said, that's, my God, you did something. Now, can you imagine you got here, over a million people, and you got to divide the land. You divide it. They don't divide it. You divide it for them. You decide where they're going to go. Oh, nobody's going to complain. You better be strong and courageous, or you'll quit the job. I'm going to tell you what. The average minister stays in the ministry today is under 4 years, and I know why. Weakness. You know, strong. You're going to stay because why? They're always out here trying to get everybody to agree with them, and they get upset if everybody. Get a life. Get strong and courageous. Be a leader. You know, right now in America, we don't have leaders. People don't get strong and courageous. They're always looking for polls, to opinions, what everybody thinks. Well, I'm sorry. You got to do the right thing sometimes when people want something else. You can't do it for them. You got to look them in the eye and say, you ain't having what you want. This is what we're doing. And we don't have that. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to take somebody that's courageous. It's going to take somebody strong to do that. That's life. That is life, man. You know, and a family is like that. Sometimes things got to be done. The kids don't want it done. Today, the kids don't want it. We ain't doing it. We want the kids unhappy. My God, we'll bury them in the backyard. I don't care. But they ain't going to get done just because they want it. My words. Preacher, I mean, dear Lord, I listened to one of the heads of our ministry, said, well, you know, they're doing certain things in the ministry, and they're wrong. They're not right. And he said, well, the young people like it. I don't care if they like it. It's wrong. And then he tells us we're supposed to follow these idiots. Well, we ain't following them. Why? Because they're out here because somebody likes it. It's the wrong thing to do. It's against the Word of God. But the young people like it. So we do it. But he said again here, be strong this time. And he said, did you ever notice the first time he says, be strong and of good courage? And then he says, only be strong. He changes it, only be strong. Don't be something else. Don't be anything but. Only be strong and very courageous. Why? That you may observe to do according to all the law. There's one thing you're going to find out. If you walk, Jesus said, you're not going to come bring peace but a sword. You're going to follow the Word of God. You're going to get opposition. That's the way it is. And you're going to follow it. And it's going to take courage to do the opposition. You're going to be in opposition in front of people. And when you're doing what the Word says and people are following, when they haven't been trained in their human spirits, they're going to want to do all kinds of different stuff. You got to do it. To follow the law. This he said, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. He didn't say he suggested to you. Commanded to you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left hand, that you may prosper. What? That you may prosper wherever you go. Listen to what he said. You want to follow this. Do not turn from it to the right or the left. Why? That you may prosper. So, in other words, who causes us to prosper? See, people say God will prosper you. No, you prosper you. You prosper you according to following how closely you follow what the Word of God says, what God's commanded. How close do you follow it? That's how you prosper. See, the closer you follow what God's Word said, that's why when the Lord dealt with me back, even before, like last year, back into the end of 2014 and into 15, was dealing with me, you know, I wasn't really, there was things that God was blessing my life with, but I wasn't being blessed as much as He wanted to bless me, because when He took me over the Word, I wasn't walking as closely to the Word And when I started to do it, I started, even from financial prosperity, I started prospering more. Well, it's like that in every other. The closer you follow the word concerning health and healing, the closer that you're going to see more prospering in healing. You're going to see in health and in those areas. The closer you walk to it. And so we know this. We know that the church world today has gotten way off from the word because of the mess we see in our nation and in the churches, the crazy stuff that's going on. It is because they're not following the word closely. Because our outcome is determined by us and not by God. God's already determined outcome by word. Now, anybody who follows the word has that outcome. It's like getting saved. God already has established how you get saved. So if I follow the scriptures on what it takes to get saved, I will have that. I'll prosper in salvation. I'll get born again. And it's always like that. So with Joshua prospering was going to determine how close he followed the word. In other words, that was going to be in his hand. Is he going to be courageous? Very courageous? Is he going to be only be strong? That's the only thing is to be. He didn't say go be something else. He said only be strong. Now, can you imagine Joshua walking around telling people, I'm strong. I'm strong. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I'm strong. Oh, he's so haughty, that guy. Don't hang around that Joshua guy, you know. Here's the key, because these statements he made before, these first statements, Joshua could have probably been standing there and singing, boy, this is easy for him to say. But he tells him how to get there. How do I get there? Then he says this book of the law. Now at that time, that's what they had, the law. That was their book. That's what God had given. The book of the law shall not depart from where? Your mouth. Don't let other things come out of your mouth. Don't depart to other kind of talking. Talk what the Word of God says. See, we have the new covenant and we want to talk those things and say those things. He said, don't let that stuff, don't let it depart from your mouth. The things that you say need to be in line with what the law says. Don't make other decisions and say other things. Now, he said, but you shall meditate on it at least once a week on some of these things. And sometimes, if it suits you and it works out well, you know, maybe you could. It would not help if you did. He's telling him how he can be this strong and how he can be this very courageous and how he can do and fulfill God's plan for his life to divide the land to the people and prosper at it. And you know what? Joshua must have done this, because when he did dividing the land up, there wasn't a bunch of big fussing and fighting. He did something pretty good. He did. So what are you going to do? He says, you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe what? To do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. It don't say then God will make your way prosperous, does it? Then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. See, this is why. You know, God in many ways, I think, has made it easy for the church, but the church has, you know, we've gotten off onto things. Religion always leads over, well, God will do it for you. God will do it for you and all this stuff. If you do this, God will do this for you. And there's a sense of some of that's true, but a lot of things is that you walk in the Word, you're going to prosper. If you walk in the Word, you're going to be blessed. If you walk in the Word, you'll be successful in your Christian life. You'll be a successful Christian. You'll walk. It's just like with Joshua. You'll fulfill God's plan and purpose for your life. You'll do that if you're in line with the Word of God. Because the Word, when Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin, he in 1987, talked about the blessing. He said, my full blessing is in my perfect will. Well, his words is perfect will. In other words, his full blessing is already in it. He said, Jesus said that people don't have to play and ask him to bless him if they're in his perfect will. You don't have to. But you're going to have to ask him to bless you if you're not, because you're going to have to try to get it some other way. Because it doesn't come like that. So in other words, we determine that. So the closer we walk to the Word, well, he told him how he would get himself over to walk in line with this, and it was through meditating on the Word of God. So the Word of God that you have in writing, what we have here written in this book, it has, in other words, God told him, the Word that you got in writing in this in the law, this got to govern your life. This has to govern everything that you say. This does. This has to govern your saying. You know, when Jesus told the disciples right the verse before, verse 22 of Mark 11, 22, he said, have faith in God. In other words, have faith in God, in God's Word. God's Word, faith comes by hearing the Word, saying what the Word says, speaking what God said to speak, doing what God said. So, to be strong and courageous, we're going to have to do something, because we found out over in Proverbs that we're going to have to be strong and courageous. We're going to have to control our mouth, or our flesh is going to dominate us. You got to control your mouth. Meditation will bring you wisdom. Remember back in the Proverbs scripture, it said, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth. Wisdom. The wisdom of God dealing in the areas of meditation. Now, meditate, the word meditate is the idea is to reflect upon, to mutter, to ponder, to contemplate by repeating. It's not a mental exercise like the English word uses. It's not sitting down and do the yoga thing. Yoga, you have these certain positions you get into. See, you know, that's all demonic stuff. And you know why? See, I was involved in the areas of sorcery. Sorcery and witchcraft and that use natural things to try to do stuff in the spirit. See, like witchcraft, they make potions and do all that. They're trying to make natural things to change things spiritually. They do those kinds of things. Yoga gets over in a thing. You get into certain positions and you go in these positions and you do your meditation. And these positions help you spiritually. Oh yeah, they'll help spirits. When you get over and do things, he's talking about meditation. In meditation, the word is taking. So in other words, take scriptures and reflect upon them. In other words, don't just read the Bible. You know, if God's speaking to you in certain areas, and you know, he's always done this for me, and this is why I mostly don't just sit and just read through the Bible. God will start to speak to me about a certain areas of scriptures, and I go over those scriptures, and I'll start to reflect on those scriptures. I mean, even when I'm doing things in the natural, I'm working, I can be reflecting sometimes on scriptures. I'm thinking about certain things, you know, because sometimes, you know, doing some manual labor, I can do some manual labor, and I can sit and think about other things. You don't have to keep concentrated. Now, if you get something over real technical, you're going to have to use your mind on that. Don't be doing brain surgery and meditating. Please don't. Not a good thing to do, and don't let a doctor do that for you. We want to keep his mind on what he's in. Anyhow. But there's sometimes doing things, but you can reflect on things. But sitting down with the Word and reflect on it. Now, to mutter. This muttering is the idea where you're actually saying it. But one thing you're not doing, it's just not making a confession speech. See, a lot of people just make a confession speech. That's not what you're doing. Muttering. You're saying the words over and over to yourself. You know, sometimes I've sat down with scriptures and just saying them over. I mean, going over a scripture, sometimes for weeks I will have a certain scripture that I'll do. When I used to run a lot, I'd have a certain scriptures I'd think about, and I'd go out and mutter on them. I'd be out one day running, and all of a sudden, I would see what that scripture was saying. All of a sudden, I could have quoted you the words, and I could have quoted you the definition as of each word in that thing. But it just seemed like all of a sudden, what happened to that thing? All of a sudden, on meditation and muttering, saying that scripture over and over. As many times I go out, and if I go out and run or exercise or something, and I'll run along, and I'll have a scripture, and I'll mutter it. I'll say it as I run along, and I don't say it as a confession. I say it as a thing, as a meditation. thinking on that scripture, and I'll say it, or I might be a part of a scripture. Sometimes there's just a certain phrase in a scripture, and I'll just say that thing, and I'll say that thing as I run along. And that thing becomes more and more real inside of me. And that's what we're you're pondering. And really, in meditation, there is that part of the speech part, but it's not making a confession. Making a confession is when that thing becomes alive in you, then start saying it as a confession. Now you're speaking it out. You're believing it in your heart. You're putting it on your lips, and it's changing things. But until you get the revelation, just saying it ain't gonna happen. You know, there's people who have confessed. I've heard people say this. They had confessed their healing, and they had done it for huge, long periods of time. Nothing ever changed. All of a sudden, one day, they all of a sudden got a revelation on what they've been saying. And then they said it. Changed everything. See, the heart of the wise, really, it guides the mouth. And that's one of the things that you want to do, because that's where the power's at. And see, God's telling Joshua, if you'll get over and get the word says, and you'll get over and you'll speak these things, you're going to prosper. You're going to be a successful guy. You're going to fulfill what I want. You guys are going to go into this land. This thing's going to work. This is how you get it to work. So that's basically, the principles that he's teaching him here on these things. Now, so, and we're going to be stopping here in this. So, but we need to know this, that wisdom, you can have knowledge about something. It's sort of like what I was talking about before we got started. You can be, like I said, what happens? We develop technology in America. Somebody's smart enough to figure out they come up with some great ideas, but they don't have the way to put it in a useful product. And somebody else will take it and do it. Somebody in another country does it. And this is what we're dealing with, wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to take knowledge and put it to work, make it work. So you can have the knowledge of something. How many times I've used that when I worked with a guy at Reese's who read these books, these technical books all the time on engines and all kinds of stuff. And he liked cars and, he would like, BMWs. And I had a BMW and I had a problem with it. And I asked him about that stuff, and he was making sorts about my engine, different things and that stuff. And I asked him about, he could show me something and that stuff. And he said, I don't work on them. I don't know about that stuff. He could tell you, he had all this stuff, but he had no wisdom concerning it. He didn't know how to take that, all that knowledge he had about there, these all these things about the engine, the carb from carburation to you name it. But he'd had no practical knowledge or wisdom to be able to put to work to fix this stuff if something went bad. He didn't know what to do with it. Well, was that any value to him? Not at all. Many Christians, the Word of God is no value to them because they don't know what to do with it. They'll make quotes, but they really don't know what to do with it. When problems arise, they make the decisions the same everybody else does in the world. They make the same decision. They do the same thing. But wisdom is the ability to rightly apply knowledge. And this is one thing. See, even though I could quote a scripture, know what it says technically, when that thing got inside of me, man, I knew what to do. I knew what to do with that thing. Man, it's like, wow, I know, I got this one. And so, meditate. What you want to do? Meditate so you can deal wisely in the affairs of life. That's what you want to do. You want to be able to deal wisely in the affairs of life, and meditate on things. He said about doing this day and night. People don't realize how often that they could turn around and think. Just if Christians would walk along and think. They have those little bracelets that kids would wear. What would Jesus say? That was put on to a reminder. When situations come up in people's life, what if Christians stop and say, gee, what's God saying about this? Most of that people don't. And so they don't meditate for a minute on over to think about things and to meditate and to mutter. And you want to do that because this wisdom that comes through meditation will come and will give you the wisdom to make the right decisions. Why? Because God wants your life successful. That's what He wants. He wants you to be successful. He don't want the devil running over you, eating your lunch, taking all your money, turning around, making you sick all the time and doing things. He doesn't want that. But you must keep the Word in your meditation all the time. You've got to keep the Word of God in your meditation. What you mean? People meditate on the wrong things all the time. People say, I ain't got time to meditate in the Word the whole time. And somebody does something to them, and they're meditating a lot of how they'd like to get at that person and what they'd like to do to them, and they meditate on it. and they mutter it, and they go tell other people. Yeah, the so and so, I like to do this. That's meditation. They're meditating on stuff. Saying the wrong things about situations, talking the wrong stuff, saying the wrong things. That's their meditation. They're meditating on doing evil. And then they say, I can't understand why my body don't work right. Why? My God. I mean, even science will tell you, if you keep talking the wrong stuff and saying the wrong things and that stuff, your body reacts to it. I mean, try to be happy and at peace talking stuff that ain't peace and happy. It don't work. But anyhow, really, that's the key to start. And I want you to understand this. That does work. It's not something that I'm saying here about this that's a nice thing to say. It does actually. It actually works. I've practiced these things. I've listened to Kenneth Hagin talking about them, and is getting something, because why? What we want to do, we want to get things inside of us. You get it into your spirit. And what you get in your spirit, when you get in your spirit, you start talking it with your mouth. It's amazing the power that you will release. Oh, my, my, my. The power that will be released. But he said, why? So you can do. You want to meditate on things you can do. See, sometimes people are trying to do, but they never meditate. It's not real to them. And they're trying to do it, and they try to do it, and they fail. And the reason they fail is because it's really not in them to do it. They're not doing it with all their heart. They're not strong or courageous in it. They're just, it's like watching a person saying, about giving. And they're, well, yeah, I tithe. I've had people say, yeah, I tithe, but I don't, boy, I'll tell you this. I don't know if I have to do that or not. Well, doing it, it's half-hearted. They're not looking at it in a way of saying, hey, this is, God has a plan for me, and he wants to bless me here, and I want to walk in this thing. I want to do the will of God, because this is going to work for me. I want to get in this blessed stuff. I don't want the rest of it. They don't talk that. They're over here talking about, this is a difficult thing and it's hard. Sometimes doing the word of God is difficult to do, but that don't mean it's bad to do. It's good to do. It might be difficult. I look at in the Second World War, what our soldiers did was very difficult to do, but aren't you glad they did it? My God, we'd be part of Germany and Japan would own us today. We'd have been raised speaking, Japanese or German, one of the two. Living under the Third Reich, or that crazy, guy over in Japan who was they thought was God. Dear Lord. But if people didn't do what was hard to do, it was hard to do, but they went and did it. And you got to. Why? Because it did cause people to prosper. It caused things to be blessed by doing it. And thank God they did it. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, we want to thank you for teaching us, instructing us today. Lord God, Lord, we want these things quickened to us, Lord God, to do them. And Father, and anybody that listens to these teachings, Father God, I pray that you give them wisdom to understand, Lord God, that doing these things may seem difficult at first starting off, but Lord God, the payoff that comes when you start walking in these things and doing what the Word says. Oh, Father God, their lives will be blessed. And they will just be so glad that they walked in the light of the truth of the Word of God. And so we thank you for, Father, revealing these things to us. Thank you, Lord God, for the things that you've had people teach us over the years and instructing us in your ways. And we give you the glory and praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.